If you will, keep your Bibles marked in that location. We'll be talking some things this morning about Eli and his sons, some of the sins that his sons committed, and some of the things that Eli did in his life that were not in keeping with the will of God. There's important points throughout the Bible that we can learn and apply to ourselves as individuals or ourselves as fathers or mothers, as parents toward our children, and I think there's some good thoughts in this for us, not only as just parents, but also for grandparents. The Lord's willing, if we live and time goes on, I believe next Sunday is marked Father's Day on the calendar. So this lesson would tie in just a little bit with that, concerning fathers and Eli being a dad himself and having some sons and some sons that didn't turn out the way that they should have. And there were reasons they ended up as they did, because they didn't listen to their father, and their father made some mistakes as he was trying to teach them, and so God condemned them for their sins. And so this morning, let's take just a few minutes and look at some of these thoughts, mistakes of this father, Eli. And it's covered in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and 3 in those verses that W.A. just read. Eli, of course, was a priest of God, and he served God. It had been appointed beforehand that the priesthood would be handed down, and there would be those who would serve in the priesthood. And Eli, being a high priest, he had sons that were in his family, and so they worked in that regard. But Eli, even no matter the fact that he was a religious man, he was a man of God, and he still made some mistakes. So we know that it doesn't matter who we are prone to make mistakes. It may be the man that is well known. It may be the man that seems to have everything intact. If he's not careful, he can make some mistakes in his own life personally, or he can make some mistakes toward his own family, toward his children, in bringing them up. So one thing we learn from Eli is that we need to always be on guard, no matter where we are in the sight of God or what our position may be or what our job may be. We need to be on guard in what we do, the way we live our life, and the way we teach our children, because there'll be some things that can, you might say, come back to be troublesome for us, as it was with Eli and his sons. So let's look at some of these thoughts regarding Eli and his sons and a few of the mistakes that he made as a father. We see that his sons were corrupt, and the reason they were corrupt is they didn't know God. They didn't know the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 12, "Now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord." This morning in our Bible class, we talked about the need to know God's Word, the need to know the truth of God's Word. And if we don't know it, then we're certainly going to be led in the wrong direction and do the wrong things. And then to know it but not do it and be deterred by things around us that are sinful, that's wrong also. So condemnation will come in either regard. In this case, whatever effort Eli may have made to teach his children, it didn't sink in. For whatever reason, they didn't know the Lord as they should. They didn't understand perhaps the gravity of not following precisely everything that God had instructed them to do. But nonetheless, we see that his sons did not know the Lord, and they were corrupt because of that. And so they did wrong in numerous ways. There's two or three things mentioned in these chapters, chapters 2 and 3, that Eli's sons did that were wrong in the sight of God. The sacrifices that the people brought to be offered up to God, and so the priest who had lived off of that, they were to get a certain part of it, and it was to be taken at a certain time and a certain portion. There was a certain amount they could reach in and get, and the people would offer the sacrifice, and they got their share of it so that they could live all the sacrifices that was brought to offer up to God. And these men, these sons of Eli, they flawed. They made a mockery of what God had done. And so when the people brought the sacrifices, they would take more than they were supposed to take. And they would take it perhaps not being in the proper preparation it should have been. And so they committed sins in the sight of God concerning the sacrifices that Israel brought, and also the sins they committed at the gate with the women. So Eli's sons had some things that needed to be reckoned with in their lives. And so we look at the father, and as he looks at his sons, we find that we're going to see this morning he goes and talks to his sons, and you know, why have you done this thing? You know God is not acceptable with this, and you sinned against God, and you committed this sin. So they were corrupt because they did not know God. So that brings about the thought that as a parent, we have a great responsibility to teach our children. Eli, as a father, had a responsibility to teach his sons. And so, whatever extent of teaching he did to them, I don't know. Whatever extent of really receiving that, what he taught them, I don't know that either. It doesn't tell me that. But I do know that there was a failure in the part of somewhere in the teaching of the word to the sons that at this point they didn't know the Lord. So there was a breakdown somewhere in communication about God's law and God's word and what ought to be done, whether it was in the part of the one who was sharing it, the father, or whether it was the sons who were receiving it. We do know that his sons did wrong concerning the sacrifice of Israel and the sins they committed with these women. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 2. And verse 17, 1 Samuel 2 and verse 17. Therefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. So their sin was great. You know, we talk about sin, and sin is sin. Sin is transgression against God. But in the sight of God, this is classified as these sins. These men are committing great sins. Look at verses 22 through 24 of 1 Samuel chapter 2. He says, Now Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So he said to them, Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. No, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. If any man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father. So we see the picture of a high priest and his sons then, who were doing things within the priesthood there, that whenever the people brought sacrifices, it was taken at the wrong time. More was taken than should have been taken. The people were threatened. And so it was a mockery made then of the sacrifices and the part the priest received on their behalf of what was offered. The mockery that was made of committing the sins with these women. So Eli had his hands full at this point. My sons have done wrong. They don't know the Lord. That what they're doing is corrupt in the sight of God. Now, Eli, as all men in that day and time of Israel, had a responsibility to teach their children the word of the Lord. Fathers had a responsibility to teach their sons about God, so that their sons might know God and know His word and walk in the way and in the paths of the Lord. As a matter of fact, we turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and we read a few verses there, and we see that certainly it was so important that these fathers were told to take this word of God and to study it and to learn it, and not only to do that, but to have high regard for the word of God, and then share it with their children, and even to teach your son when you walk by the way, when you go through the day, when you sit down at night, when you rise up in the morning, teach the word of the Lord to your children. So Eli had a responsibility to teach his sons the law of the Lord. Look to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. You see, God wanted the fathers of the household to have the Word of God out in front of their children every day. Wherever they went, whatever they did, every day the Word of God is before you. reading the Word of God, reading the commands of God, reading the law of Moses to them, teaching them when you rise in the morning, when you walk by the way, when you go through the evening, when you lay down at night, teach them the Word of God. So Eli, as a father, had responsibility to do this, but apparently we see then there was a breakdown somewhere between what Eli taught his son, or the frequency of how he taught his son, or the very things of what he taught his son, they did not know the Lord, so they were corrupt in the sight of the Lord. Well, what were some of the things that happened? What were some of the mistakes we can see in these verses about this father? Well, 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 3, we see that he did not restrain his sons. You know, to restrain is to, when you teach your children the Word, then you have to have discipline. And in discipline them, if they understand the Word and know it, then you would restrain them by them knowing the Word, but you would put a certain amount of safeguards on those children to keep them back from certain things, that they would not be allowed to go out and perhaps get caught up in something that's wrong. You try to restrain them from those evil things, but he did not restrain his sons. 1 Samuel 3:13. He tried to reason with them, but it was too late to do anything about it. They were already set in their sinful ways. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 13 says, his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. So when they became corrupt, when they became vile, when they were sinful, disobeying God in regard to the things that were happening, to the sacrifice and laying with these women and other things that were happening, we see that certainly he didn't restrain them. So a father's duty is to teach his children the law of the Lord and to put up a safeguard and try to hold his children, you might say, put the reins on them. So they don't have free run to go out and indulge in anything they want to. So they learn. They learn by discipline not to do that thing. So he should have restrained them. So he made a mistake of not controlling his children as he should as a father. And certainly I may have been guilty of that with my children. On my regard, not my wife's part. My wife did a very good job with our daughters and our son. And I should have done more in that regard. But I think back and there were some areas maybe I didn't restrain them as I should have. And thankfully I had a wife who did restrain them when I failed. But on the other hand, there can be sometimes too much restraint, perhaps. And we all learn that through experience over the years. In preaching the gospel and being in different congregations and different places with different families, you understand that certainly you have responsibility to try to teach your children and control them. But there were times that my children were not allowed and didn't get to participate in certain things or go certain places that other members of the church in different congregations, their children were allowed to go and do because it was okay, but if the preacher's kids did it, it wouldn't have been okay. You see what I mean? And that's not the way it should be. And so, sometimes we have to be careful in the way we do things in restraining our children. Make sure we restrain to the point that God tells us, but don't over restrain where something's allowed that's okay. We need to be careful that we don't discourage our children in that regard. But nonetheless, these sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. Solomon talked about in the book of Proverbs the need to discipline our children. In Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 8, or 19 and verse 18, he said, "Chasten your son while there is hope and do not set your heart on his destruction." So, when there's time, when there's opportunity, we need to teach and we need to discipline our children. And verse 13 of Proverbs 23, Solomon said, "Do not hold back correction from a child." So Eli failed to restrain his sons, and we don't need to hold back correction from our children. When it may be verbal correction, it may be a comparative and selective teaching that we do them so they understand the difference in this and that, so they do things. But correction, making correction verbally, or it may be with the rod of discipline, as some would use it, as Solomon used it a few times. Proverbs 13 and verse 24. Solomon also said in regard to discipline children, he who loves him disciplines him promptly. So that is the teaching our children, discipline our children. Perhaps it involves restraint. And so correction, correcting our children. So one of the mistakes that he made was he didn't restrain his sons. He didn't correct them and hold them back as he should have when he had the opportunity to do it. Well, a second mistake he made was he honored his sons more than he honored God. And so could we make that same mistake in our life today as parents, that we would give our children too much of material things? Maybe we think more highly of them than we do God, and rather restraining them and holding back certain material things for them, we'll just go all out to give them anything they want, or to make them have as much as the person down the road has got, or one of the other fellow students have all this. And so we just go out of our way to make sure they've got the same or similar of what they've got. But sir, that is in regard to having things, but in regard to allowing children, as I mentioned earlier, to involve themselves in certain things. So we need to understand that God comes first, His Word comes first, and we use that based on our children. So if God's Word is there, then it's going to be related to our children, and we'll honor God so that we teach our children the right way, and we don't honor our children more than God, that we would allow them to go out and do things that we know are wrong, or allow them to go out and get things that perhaps they don't really need to have, and it's not necessary for them to have. So, but he honored his sons more than he honored God. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 29, this same issue was addressed to Eli and his sons. Jesus addressed that issue. He pointed out when he was on earth that it's possible for someone to give more honor to their parents or to their family than they do to God. And so if Eli honored God as he should, then God's Word would have been first and foremost, the obedience to God and the priesthood would have been first and foremost, and his children would have been very important also, but he would have put God's Word first, that there's his children needed God's Word and the importance of teaching them that Word and restraining them and keeping them in the bounds of that Word. But Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 37, he who loves father or mother or son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So there's the priority. So Eli, he honored his sons more than he honored God. So the highest honor goes to God. Certainly we ought to honor our wife, and our wife honor her husband, and parents would honor their children. But that comes in, it falls into the category of where it needs to fall. So if we put too much emphasis on honoring the person, then God gets out of the picture, and failure to teach, failure to restrain comes into place. Here's Eli then, who honored his sons more than he honored the Lord. So if we honor God as we ought to, it's important then that we can understand that we'll be better parents than we would be if we don't honor God as we should. So there's that place in prayer. Worship God first. Put Him first and foremost in our life. And, you know, love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for. And love our children and bring them up with the nurture and admonition of the Lord, so that we show God honor and respect and let His Word live in our life. And then our children will be where they ought to be, hopefully. Well, another mistake we see then as we look at Eli and his failures as being a man of God and having sons who served, and we see that Eli then knew that from the law of Moses had been given that here you need to be teaching the Word of God, you need to be sharing it with your children, but he failed to restrain them. He honored them more than he did God. So it shows us that God ought to come first in all things, and if he does, and we teach his Word and we share his Word, that there will be discipline put in place for our own self and for our own children, and we may, perhaps, will not end up as Eli did and his own sons did. So let us as parents, as fathers and mothers, do our best to be a good example, to lead our children in the right way by teaching them the Word of God. Well, this morning, let's look at a few points concerning fathers. As fathers, we should teach and train our children correctly. And that goes back to teaching the Word of God with them and restraining them. Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Solomon's saying that when we instill in children the Word of God, they're going to always remember it as long as they're in the right mind. And that ought to help them to live as they ought to. Teach and train our children correctly. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition, or the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So, teaching and training our children correctly, applying God's Word, putting God's Word first, teaching them the importance of knowing and doing and obeying God's Word, and letting them know what God would have us to do. As fathers, we need to lead by a good example in everything we do, our words and our actions. It applies to everyone in Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Christians are to be the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. You know, we're like a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. So, therefore, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The same application applies to us as parents toward our children, as fathers toward our sons. Let's try to set that example, that good example, the best we can, and toward our grandchildren and even our great-grandchildren. Because their children are there, and then those grandchildren, and they're there, and you watch them, and you try to your best to be a good example of them. And then if we live long enough to have great-grandchildren, well, try to be the right example to them. As fathers, we need to discipline with proper instruction and correction. We covered that about Eli and his sons, but Proverbs 3 and verse 12 says, "For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights." Fathers, we need to be correcting our children, teaching them, correcting them verbally, with instruction, with information, teaching them through discipline of the body and the mind, so that we bring them up with a proper instruction and proper instruction. As fathers, we need to be involved in bringing up our children the right way, and that involves using our time wisely for our children. I don't know how much time a dad needs to spend with his son or his daughter, or a mother with her daughter or son, or parents with their children. There's not a set amount of hours that we ought to spend with them doing certain things, I don't think, but certainly, if we have our priorities right, there ought to be the certain amount of time spent in study and in teaching. But whatever time we have with them, the main thing is that we use our time wisely. And I look back today, James, and I see that over these years, how I wasted time. All that wasted time that I should have spent more time with Jason and Jennifer. Julie, even with my own wife. I should have come home earlier some days from work. I should have not gone in so early some days. I should have demanded that I get that day off instead of going into work when the company said, "We want you to work on your day off." I didn't realize then, though, that time is just like a vapor. We fail sometimes, don't we? If we don't use our time wisely. Don't use our time wisely. And you think back, maybe, and you wonder, how could I have used my time better? But then you look at the time you spent with your children trying to teach them, and my wife did most of that teaching at home to them. I was spending my time studying preparation for sermons. 2 sermons a week for 40 years. 2 and 3 classes a week, and sometimes 4 for 40 years. I'm thankful I had the opportunity to do it. But I still didn't use my time wisely. I didn't use it wisely. How many times, how many hours, how many nights, how many days did my wife and I spend sitting in a hospital with someone who had a loved one that was dying, or someone who needed help, or sitting at someone's house listening to their problems And our children were sitting at home. Sitting at home. Or with someone else. Maybe I should have cut my time at the hospital shorter and let those people be there instead of holding their hand and spend more time with my children. I don't know if that'd been the right decision or not. Well, you look back and you think, you try to do the right thing. You try to spend your time where it ought to be. And all the time that my children would have loved to have gone to the park on a Saturday. But they didn't get to go because we had a funeral to preach. All the Friday and Saturday nights that they would have loved to have gone to a ball game or done something as a family. And they didn't get to go because we went to a funeral home or we had a Bible study. And don't get me wrong. Visiting the funeral home, visiting the hospital, and Bible study, it's important. Weddings are important. Funerals are important. But as fathers, for some like me, it's too late to go back and change that. I wish there were some young fathers here today that could hear this and know that you need to allocate your time. Allocate it the best you can. Use it wisely. Make the most of your time, for the days are evil. So then understand what the will of the Lord is. As fathers, we need to keep our priorities in line. We talked about with Eli, hadn't we? Spiritual things first, God first and foremost. If we do that, everything else will fall into place with our families and our children. Love is important. Keep our priorities in line. Love God, love His Word. If we do that, we'll love our wife and our family and our children as we should. We'll love our children and discipline and teach them and train them. Priorities. Prioritize. That goes back to that time I spent on that job. I should have spent a little less time on that job. Made a little bit less money. Owed a little more money for a little bit longer time perhaps. Get my priorities in time. Well, realize the end result of doing right. Proverbs 23 and verse 24, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who has a wise son will be glad. I'm thankful for Jason. My wife. Thankful for my family. I know you're thankful for your families. We're all going to make some mistakes as parents. Our children are going to make some mistakes. Some will make less than others. Some parents will make less than others. But you know what? While I'm in my right mind and you're in your right mind, and while we have the opportunity, if we made mistakes, we ought to just correct them. We ought to just get forgiveness of them and put them behind us. And say, I'm going to do better today going forward toward my children and my grandchildren so I can be a glad father and a glad grandfather and say that my grandson and my granddaughter knew that I went to church. They knew that we studied our Bibles. They knew that we cared about other people. Let's know that the end result of doing right is going to be a good result. But the end result of doing wrong, oh, how sad to not be prepared and not prepare ourselves along the way, because if we don't attend services, if we're not faithful, how can we influence our children or our grandchildren to do that? We can't. And the end result could be that they lose their soul because we were not right. We need to realize the end result of doing right. Well, we need to set a good example. You probably can't read this, but I'm going to put it on the board anyway, and we'll see if we can get through this. If I can find where the end of that, I think that's it. Some of you read that before. A careful man I ought to be, a little fellow follows me. I dare not go astray, for fear he may go the self-same way. Not once can I escape his eyes. Whatever he sees me do, he tries. Like me, he says he's going to be that little chap who follows me. He thinks that I am good and fine, believes in every word of mine. The base in me he does not see, the little chap who follows me. I must remember as I go through summer sun and winter snow, I'm building for the years to be, that little chap who follows me. Well, we've talked about fathers and their children, Eli and his sons, and a few things that we need to do and some mistakes we need to avoid and some things we need to do. Well, as children. As a child, you need to respect your parents and your father, who is a godly man. We need to have the proper respect for our parents and our dad, our mother. We need to love and honor our parents. Obey our parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is right. Thank goodness for godly parents. For dads and moms who care and love their children. Let them be a good example to you. Thank the Lord for children. Let us be the kind of parents we ought to be. Let us respect and love our father. Let us honor our father and our mother. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16. Let us love our parents, our father and our mother, and respect and honor them. Colossians 3 and verse 20. Really, when you think about the fact of who we are and what we're doing in our life, there's lessons about parents and children, dads and mothers and sons and daughters, and friends and neighbors and people. But it all boils down to this. The end result of what we do is going to be because of what we did. So are we doing what's right? If we're not, if you need to make corrections in your life this morning, then you have an opportunity to do that. If you need to be baptized into Christ, we'd urge you to confess Christ, repent of your sins, and do that this morning and leave the building doing what's right. You'll be a good example to others. The result will be good. If you're here this morning and you're not a faithful Christian, then you need to make some corrections in a public way, then confess your wrong and pray to God and repent of your sin and leave this building doing right. And when you do right, the end result is going to be good. Don't refuse to do right because the end result will be something bad. If we can help you this morning, please come while we stand and while we sing.